So hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. I want to welcome you to our weekly conference call. I'm doing one every single Saturday during this pandemic when we're in quarantine here in Panama. I can't even leave my house on Saturday. I can get in the yard, but I can't drive anywhere or go anywhere. So this gives me something to do every Saturday to look forward to, but it also gives you something to look forward to listen to these interviews that I'm doing with people that live here in Panama. So just about 2 minutes ago, I got an unfortunate message that Phil and Gloria, who are supposed to be our guest speakers, their power went out at their house about 30 minutes ago, and they need to, and when the power goes out, your internet goes out also. So they contacted me through Facebook on their cell phone. So hopefully they're going to be able to join us in just a little bit on the conference call. Meanwhile, I'll just go ahead and switch into our Q&A mode where you ask questions and I answer them until they're able to join us. But meanwhile, I wanted to give you an update on what's happening here in Panama. I haven't looked at what the numbers are today on our COVID-19 cases, but we have, I think, 10,100 cases total in the country. But out of that, about 6,800 of the people have already recovered. So we don't have a little more than 3,000 people are active cases. There's not very many people that are even in the hospital. Most of the cases are pretty mild and people are recovering at home. So that's really good news. And Panama, as I sent out with an email earlier, Panama has established a plan to slowly reopen the country. It's a 6-stage plan. We already did stage one on, I think it was March the 13th. They did phase one of letting hardware stores and car fix-it places and auto parts stores and some places open up. And on the 26th of this month, on May 26th, they're going to start phase two, which will allow construction of things like roads and bridges and building construction and some other things like some beaches, I think, and parks are going to be opening up again. So the plan is every 14 days they're going to open up another stage so that by the end of July, we will be completely out of a quarantine situation. Unfortunately, they've announced when all these different businesses are going to open up, but they haven't said a darn thing about when the people are going to get out of a quarantine. Currently, we can only leave our house for 2 hours three times a week. So women can leave on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday only for 2 hours at certain designated times, depending on the last digit of your passport or your cédula. Men can only leave their house on Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday for 2 hours, but only during certain hours, depending on the last digits of your passport or your cédula. So a husband and wife living together, they're not allowed to leave together. They have to go out separately at separate times. So hopefully they're going to announce a plan at some point when they will ease that up a little bit, maybe when we can go out for 4 hours a day or, you know, just have, you know, everybody has to be home by 9 o'clock at night or something. So far, they haven't announced anything like that. So we're still under a pretty strict quarantine. But, you know, for me, it's not that bad because I live up in the highlands where the weather's great. I have my windows open all the time. I have a pretty big property and big gardens, vegetable gardens and flower gardens. I can walk all over my property anytime. I just can't get in the car and go drive. Now, I feel bad for people that live in a tiny little one-bedroom or studio apartment that they're pretty much stuck. They can't do anything. So for me, the quarantine hasn't been so bad, except that I can't do any Panama relocation tours. But it's not so bad for me. So I just got a message on on my cell phone from Phil and Gloria, who are supposed to be our guest speakers today. And unfortunately, their power is still out at their house. So hopefully it'll come back on in a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and switch into just answering some of your questions. So if you have a question for me, just press *6, and I will answer questions until we can get Phil and Gloria on the line. So let me go with the very first question here. So our first question, I believe, is Sherry, area code 206.
Yeah, hi, this is Sherry in Seattle, enjoying a beautiful sailing day outside of Seattle. I had the pleasure of spending a month in Panama last July or January, and I'm looking at purchasing a home in Petosi. And one of the things I'm thinking about doing is, since we don't know what's happening with the quarantine, is to leasing it out to the owners for 6 months to 1 year. And I'm just wondering what you think about that. And also, I also happen to know that their home is in foreclosure.
So are you planning to move to Panama, or is this just strictly an investment property?
Well, it may be an investment. We want to, if we can, get the boat out of Seattle this year and go south. We'd like to do it. If it doesn't happen because of the economy, and I'm still working and such, it may be an investment for a year to possibly a little longer.
Well, one of the things that we advise people, I've been a real estate investor for 30 years, invested in Panama, invested all over the United States as well, so I have an investment background as well. Doing the Panama relocation tours, one of the things we strongly advise people to do on the Panama relocation tour is do not buy any real estate until you've lived in the area where the property is for at least 6 months. 12 months would be better. And the reason we give that amount of time is because if you visited there, I think you said in January or July, I don't remember when you visited there, the weather can be completely different at other times of the year. Some times of the year, it's really, really windy. So windy, it can knock you over. And you don't know what that's going to be like at that particular house until you've experienced it. And then in October and November, we get, especially that area, get some torrential rainfalls that you'd need to really experience that before you jump into making a buying decision. In Panama, it is easy, pretty easy to buy a house. The whole process is completely different than the United States. I've bought many houses here, so it's a different process. But it could take years, literally years, to sell the house again if you, for some reason, thought you've made the wrong decision, that you bought in the wrong place, or you need to just get the funds liquidated so that you can do something else with it. It could take years. I know a lot of people in the Petosi area that have been trying to sell their house for 4 or 5 years, and there's just not enough people coming there to be able to buy houses. So my recommendation, even if it is in foreclosure, would be to hold off and wait until you actually spend some time there.
You think it's an up-and-coming area, though, as far as if I don't move there for another year and a half or so?
Well, I know that a lot of people that thought they wanted to live there for 6 months, and then they moved away. So that says a lot.
Thank you.
But yeah. I do know people that have moved there, and they absolutely love it. They like that small-town feel.
Yes, thank you. I'm from a small town in northern Minnesota, so I'm kind of like, I was like you.
Some people that are moving to Panama, they just want to be closer to more amenities than what's offered in that area. And some people appreciate that it has the small town feel. So there's both sides of it. But I just wouldn't recommend, especially since you'd be an absentee owner, I wouldn't recommend buying any real estate until you've been here for at least 6 months consecutively. Preferably stretching over between the dry season and the rainy season. So that would be my advice. And our next caller, I just unmuted a line, but it just says anonymous. So I don't know a name or number. Go right ahead. Your line's unmuted. Okay, go to the next one. Area code 808, go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie, I was wondering if you could give me an idea of what the legal fees would be for the Friendly Nations visa, you know, the corporation, bank account, that whole package.
So it depends on which attorney that you use. We have a team of really good attorneys in several different offices that we work with, and what they charge and what other people charge, the differences could be like night and day. If you go with one of our attorneys, you know, for Panama relocation tours, for the Friendly Nation visa for a couple, they're going to charge $1,700. There's an additional fee of about $1,000 to get a corporation. We do have a unique thing with Panama relocation tours that if you come on one of our tours, we have some used corporations that you can pick up for about $100, so that'll save you $900 right there. You also have to have put $5,000 in a Panama bank account, but the day that you get your visa, you can start spending that $5,000. It doesn't have to stay in there. So just a general rule, you could say $1,700 for the attorney and then about $1,000 or a little less for the corporation. There's also some government fees that you have to pay that add up to $1,050.
Okay. What is that, about 3,000?
Yep. You know, I'm just giving you the itemized 1,700 plus 1,000 plus 1,050. And then the 5,000, that's your money. They just want to see that you have that money in the bank account.
Okay. So okay. 4,700. Yeah. Yep, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Next caller is area code 212. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Rose, and I'm signed up to go in early July on your tour. And so, of course, I'm waiting eagerly to know if the borders are going to be open. And I understand you don't know anything until they let you know.
We know is that they're going to open up the airport on June 22nd. But we don't know, as I put out an article, you know, when can you fly to Panama? I put that article out last week. We don't know. I doubt that the planes are going to come here empty. They're going to be bringing people in, but I don't know what the rules are going to be. As soon as I know the rules, then we'll let everybody know. We're hoping we can do that July tour, but we just don't know yet.
Okay, and then what I was intending to ask is you've mentioned that many times that you can't go out currently any longer than 2 hours, but how do they know, how do the authorities know? I mean, how do they have a way of tracking you? How would they know?
No. There's checkpoints. There's police checkpoints. And, you know, I was out Wednesday was, because I only need to go out about 2 hours once a week. I don't need 3 hours, three different days to go out. So I went out on Wednesday, and I knew that because I'd followed on Facebook that there was a checkpoint going into Boquete if you went on a certain road. So to avoid the checkpoint and the line that it would have taken, I just went a completely different road. So I went in there, I went to the grocery store, I went to the little farmer's market and did everything I needed to take care of. Then I took that same road to come back. But there are checkpoints throughout the country of them checking people's passport or their cedula, their national ID card, to see if you're out during the correct time zone. Here's an example. Just yesterday, I was talking to a lady that came on my tour, and she wanted to go all the way to David, from Boquete to David, which is about a 30-minute drive one way and a 30-minute drive to get back. So to go to PriceMart, which is like a Costco or a Sam's. And so she'd have just a little bit of extra time. She left her house 30 minutes early, hoping that she could get to David before everybody else did. Well, guess what? There was a checkpoint. They checked her ID. She was out at the wrong time. They impounded her car and wrote her a ticket.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
They're really strict. They're really, really strict. And just yesterday, I read in the newspaper here in Panama, 66 cars were impounded yesterday of people that were out when they weren't supposed to be. A lot of people just think the rules don't apply to them. and they're going to do whatever they want to do. But the rules apply to everybody, whether you're Panamanian or you have a permanent residency or you're here just as a tourist. The rules are the rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, don't know a name or number. Just go ahead. I've unmuted your line.
Hi, Jackie. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, this is Gene from Chicago. Two quick questions. One, are the buses running?
So the buses, they just started running the buses a little bit. There's a bus, I think, that goes twice a day from far western Panama into Panama City and back. And then they have buses on a limited schedule running in between the cities. But even then, the buses are required to do some social distancing where they can't just pack it full like they used to and fill up all the seats. I don't know if they're actually doing that or not, but those, if they get pulled over, they're going to get in big trouble if they haven't done the social distancing.
Okay, so I would, if I lived in David and wanted to go to Boquete, is that bus running?
Yes, that bus is running. It's $1.75.
Okay, the next question is, what about your political climate right now? You know, Lansing, Michigan had demonstrators with Confederate flags and machine guns and flak jackets in the state legislature. Is there any kind of, how should I put it, bad feeling about trying to open up Panama, or, you know, people restless?
There's certainly people are restless, but we don't have the division in political parties like they do in the United States. We have five different political parties, but they pretty much are all on the same page. There's not a far left, there's not a far right, or any of those things. There's certainly been some criticism of the president and our health department for doing what they're doing. There have been some protests and some demonstrations, mostly in the very poorest parts of Panama City. San Miguelito was one of them, of people that they couldn't work, so they were running out of money, which means they were running out of food. So what the government did is they started delivering food bags, big food bags full of all kinds of food to those people. And also they initiated a plan, because everybody here that lives here legally, all the Panamanians and all the permanent residents, you have an ID card. It's called a cédula. You have to show that cédula when you vote. And they were able some way to electronically put $80 a week on each person's cédula so they could use that money to go out and buy groceries. So once they did that, then that seemed to calm down the people that were running out of money and running out of food.
Hmm. Seems a little quieter than here.
Well, it's quieter. I mean, we've got a very strict quarantine, that's for sure. But we don't have, there's not people out with guns, that's for sure. even though you can get a gun here, but people just don't own them. They don't care about that. And so we just haven't had that situation. And if they did, the police would come in and, you know, calm down the situation. So we don't have the problem that you're having. I've seen the news reports that are going on in North America.
Gun sales here are spiking.
Yeah, well, not here. All the gun stores are closed right now. But, and you can't buy a gun unless you get a gun permit. You can't get a foreigner can't get a gun permit until they have their permanent visa. So it's a different situation. So our next caller is area code 410. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Terry. I was on your tour. I think it's tour number 117 back in December of.
Great to talk to you.
It's always good to hear you. Anyway, I was calling about car insurance. It's really, really expensive here. I live in Maryland, but it's expensive a lot of places across the country. California is outrageous. But what's car insurance?
Well, car insurance is super affordable here. You are required to have car insurance. Just a minimum liability insurance wouldn't cost very much. I'm on my third car since I moved to Panama. My first two cars were older cars. You know, they were like 10 years old, and I paid like $7,000 for one, and $8,000 for the other one. So because I paid so little for the car, I decided that I would just get the maximum liability insurance. I didn't buy any collision insurance because it's so cheap to get your car. If you get a fender bender, so cheap to get it fixed. So my car insurance on those cars, the first one was a Kia Sportage. The second one was a Nissan X-Trail. And then now I have a Santa Fe. And it was like $230 a year for insurance if I just got the maximum liability. Now, the car that I have now is a Hyundai Santa Fe, a 2018. When I bought it, it only had 3,000 kilometers on it. So, and it was just a little under $20,000. Because I spent so much more, I decided to get full coverage on it, full collision and everything. And I just renewed my insurance. It was $630 for the whole year.
All right. So, I guess I'll be buying a car when I get there then.
Yeah. So insurance is cheaper. Car repairs are cheaper. You do have to get your car inspected every year, get new license plates every year. And that's going to cost about $45. But insurance is cheap for your house, for your car, and health insurance. All those things are affordable.
All right. Thanks, Jackie.
You're welcome. Look forward to seeing you again.
I'll be there.
And my next caller, well, before I take that next call, I just want to give you an update from Phil and Gloria. I don't think they're going to be able to make the call. They're still having their people, they're working on their, I think their transformer got hit by lightning or something. And there's people that are working on it, but they don't know if they're going to be able to make it on the call. So what I'll do is I'll just reschedule them for June the 6th, because I already have someone else scheduled for next, on the 30th of May. I have Bob Adams, who lives in Panama City, and he's been here about 16 or 17 years. So next week is Bob Adams, who lives in Panama City, and then June the 6th, I'll reschedule Phil and Gloria. So I'm sorry they weren't able to make it. You just kind of learn to go with the flow here in Panama. So let me take our, so I'm just going to do Q&A on this one. So our next, if you have a question for me, press *6 and I'll be glad to answer your question. My next caller is area code 403. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Ted and Doris in Canada here. I was just wondering, on one of the previous talks that you had question and answering, somebody mentioned there are certain occupations that are not, you're not allowed to work at when you come to Panama.
Yes, there are certain professions or protected professions. I believe I have an article on my website about the, there's about 135 professions that are protected for Panamanians only. On some of them, there's some wiggle room and different things that you can do. There's certain professions that are only for Panamanians. It's to try to protect the jobs for Panamanians.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I understand that. So there is a list online then?
Yes, there's a list online on my website.
Okay. I thought I tried to look for it, but I didn't find it.
And so I know also on our the new complete Panama relocation guide that we have, our new online guide, we have a complete list in there of all the protected professions as well.
Okay. Off the top of your head, is electrician on there?
No. You can a foreigner can be an electrician.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Next caller, I believe, is area code 405. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. This is James. I was wondering, how do people often transport their pets, especially if they have a couple of dogs, from the Panama City airport to, like, let's say, Boquete? Like, do people usually fly from the city to David, or do they how do they get to and from?
So some people, they fly on either Copa or Air Panama. And some people, they don't want to put their pets on a plane any longer, so they'll make that drive, which is going to be about a 7-hour drive. You can also hire drivers that will drive you to your final destination instead of you renting a car and maneuvering, driving through Panama City, which is crazy. There's people that you can hire. They charge about $400 to do that trip, so it's pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm. How much would it fly to, or how much would it cost to fly back and forth between David and Panama City, like with everything normal, you know, back in time?
Yeah. It, with a Jubilado discount, I pay $85. Without the Jubilado discount, you're looking at about $100 one way.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. All righty. Well, thank you very much. You have a good one and stay safe.
Thank you. Next caller is 810 area code. Go ahead.
Hi there. I asked last week, but I couldn't get the pin fast enough. I just wanted to know what were some of the best beaches in Panama?
Well, there's a long list. If you go to my website, Panama Relocation Tours, and just search best beaches in Panama, we have a list of about 20 of the best beaches in Panama. Some are on the Pacific side, some are on the Caribbean side. Most people really prefer the beaches on the Pacific side because it's less buggy than it is on the Caribbean side.
Oh, that's good to know. And I'm sorry, you said just go to PanamaRelocationTours.com?
Right, and there's a search feature, and just put in best beaches, and it'll come up with a couple of different articles about that specific topic. There's also one called The Funky Beaches in Panama, an article about that. But if you just put in beaches, all my articles about beaches will come up.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. David, go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So I just wanted to go over quickly about the insurance, again, the health insurance. That is, you know, your last communication said that you had your international insurance and you stopped that, and you're just having the local Panama insurance. So me being coming up in September, I'm going to be turning 73. Is that an issue, getting the Panamanian insurance? What's
your
suggestion?
There's two different companies in Panama that do not have an age restriction. So even at 70, you're not going to have a problem getting health insurance here. Plus, you can always use our public health care system, which has no monthly fee. They don't care how old you are when you walk in the door. But even getting insurance, there are several different companies that they don't have an age restriction. And the cost is going to be approximately your age plus $40.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for each of us. And then that's only good in the, like, the hospital in David? I mean, we couldn't use it in...
No, it's going to be good at any public hospital. I'm sorry, any private hospital. You can still use the public hospitals, but any private hospital, like the Punta Pacifica Hospital in Panama City, the Hospital Patilla in Panama City, the hospitals in David. You can use the San Fernando Hospital in Coronado. So any of the private hospitals.
And the one in Volcan is not.
The hospital in Volcan is a public hospital.
Public, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And to get that insurance, you go through a broker, or how do you do that?
So to get that insurance, you're going to have to go into the private hospital, and they have an insurance office there. Yeah, you can't do it online. You don't want to use a broker because they'll charge way too much.
Yeah.
It's better if you walk into the insurance office, and they'll get you all set up.
Yeah, and it's cheaper to buy it by the year, probably, huh?
That you can pay for it by the month. You get a discount if you pay for it every quarter. You get a bigger discount if you pay for every 6 months, and you get an even bigger discount if you pay by the year. So you can decide, and they'll give you a breakdown. It's going to be this much if you pay it by the month, this month, if you pay for 3 months at a time. And then you can decide which way you want to go.
Okay, super. So we've got flight reservations for August 3rd, arriving there on the 4th. August 4th. So
Great.
Hopefully we'll be able to, won't be in quarantine, and we'll be able to come up to Boquete after we get our permanent pieces.
Yeah, we should be out of quarantine. And if you go into Hospital Cherokee and David, push 2 for the second floor. As soon as you get off the elevator, their insurance office is right there.
So we might be able to take care of that first. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
See you.
You're welcome. Bye. Once again, if you have a question for me, you can press *6, and I'll be glad to ask your question. If you joined us a little bit late, just letting you know what's going on, our guest speakers, Phil and Gloria, their transformer blew up outside their house. They're not going to be able to join us on the call because they have no power, which means they have no internet. So they can't get on the line with us today. I'm going to reschedule them for June the 6th. So instead of just canceling the call, I'm answering people's questions. If you have a question for me, you can press *6. My next caller is area code 484. Go ahead. Hello? Okay, we'll try the next one. Area code 910. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Debbie and Chuck calling from North Carolina. I have a quick question about the Friendly Nations Corporation tax. Do you know how much that tax is approximately, and do you pay that one time or do you pay it every year?
When you set up a corporation in Panama, it's not a tax. It's an annual renewal fee. Renewal fee is $300 is the base fee, plus you have to pay your registered agent what your attorney would charge to continue to maintain it. Some attorneys charge $50. Some attorneys charge $200. So before you go with an attorney and set up a corporation, you need to clarify what is their registered agent fee going to be every year.
Okay, so you do pay that every single year then?
Every year, yes, that's right. So that's why the reason that people that come on a Panama relocation tour that go with a Friendly Nation visa, maybe they do that visa because they don't have a pension, so they don't qualify for the pensionado visa, but they really have no plans to work at all. So after they've had that corporation for a year, they really don't need it anymore. And that's why I'm able to get corporations that people will sell to you for like about $100 for people that come on a Panama relocation tour. So that's how I can save people about $900 to $1,100 on getting a new corporation if they come on the tour.
Are you able to sell that visa even if you weren't qualified?
You can't sell the visa. Yeah, you're selling the corporation. You do have to pay $400 to get it transferred into your name, but that's still a whole lot cheaper than setting up a brand new corporation. But yes, you can sell your corporation.
Okay, so even after 1 year, even if you're not getting like Social Security or anything like that, you're only in your 50s, you can still sell it.
You can still sell it, right.
Great. Thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 740. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. We are planning on retiring early. I'll be approximately 60. My wife will be around 52. I had a couple of quick questions. Number one, we are going to be living off of the proceeds from selling the house and from our IRAs. I know that those don't qualify us for the pensionado unless we decide to deposit a large amount. However, you know, we will be getting sufficient Social Security when we're eligible. Do they accept the letter that says, you know, your approximate Social Security is going to be X when you
you have to be already collecting Social Security for them to consider it for the pensionado visa. The good thing is that you probably have to go with a Friendly Nation visa because you wouldn't have the pension. Even if you get the Friendly Nation visa, you still get all the pensionado discounts. The requirements are that women have to be 55 and men have to be 60, then you still get the discounts.
Exactly. The other quick question I had was the folks that you were going to have on, I know they live in the, near the beach area. Do you know any of the details as far as you know, what they're paying for rent and their electricity costs?
They purchased their house, and okay. I do know what all those costs are. It's, you're going to be floored. It's really affordable. I'd rather let them talk about it whenever
sure.
we get them back on the call. But, no, they purchased he purchased the house that he lives in, and then he also built a rental property on his property also that rents for the one bedroom rents for $500 a month, and literally you step out the door and you're right on the beach.
What kind of, you know, any idea what is it? I know that electricity in Coronado when we were there visiting last year, was, you know, we knew it was relatively expensive. Are the electricity costs pretty uniform across the country?
The cost per kilowatt hour is very similar. The difference is that some of the condo, high-rise condo complexes, they make you go through them to pay the electricity instead of paying the electric company. Same thing with some of the gated communities. Instead of you getting your electricity directly through the electric company, you have to go through them, and they jack up the price a little bit, and it offsets the cost of guard gates and security things and all that stuff. So I know that the electricity in their area is going to be in that, it depends on what the weather's like, but it's going to be in that $50, maybe $80 at the most range.
Okay, well, that's pretty reasonable, because I know, like, in Coronado, you know.
Yeah, it could be $150 to $300 in Coronado.
Exactly, and I assumed that the temperature was similar there as it is in Coronado. It's going to be in the 90s,
now,
correct?
The other big difference is that there are no high-rise condos in the area where Phil and Gloria live. It's all single-family homes. If you live in a high-rise condo, and especially if your condo's on the west side of the building, you're going to get so much heat in there that you're going to be miserable, and you could run your air conditioner in every single room all the time, and it wouldn't make it cool enough. But if your condo's on the east side of the building, then you may get a little bit of the morning heat, but then by noon it's going to dissipate and go away, so you're going to be able to significantly reduce your costs. So which side of the building you live on can be very important. But when you live in a single family house and it's facing the ocean, you're literally a few steps away from the water, and there's a nice ocean breeze all the time, then you don't need your air conditioner as much. So that's the big difference in the living conditions.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We'll see you in March.
Okay. Thanks. Next caller is area code 206. Go ahead.
Yes, I heard that there was, I won't say the country where it happened, but somebody that protested about the quarantine laws and that she was exported from the country. Is that true? Have you heard anything about that?
So there was a lady on Facebook. She's actually a Venezuelan that was here, and she was calling the president of the country a lot of bad names on Facebook, and they threatened to deport her because of her being very rude towards the country. She did not get deported, but they threatened to deport her, and then she made a big apology, and then they didn't deport her. But if you there was also you know, if you do a crime here, or if you say things that are bad about the government, a lot of people are complaining about the government, especially when we couldn't even buy any wine or rum or anything. A lot of people were complaining about it. But if you complain too much, they can deport you. Even if you have a visa, you can get deported. You have to be respectful of the country where you live here. Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, area code 320. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie, Mark, and Cindy Lundeen, Tucson, Arizona. We were supposed to be on your tour starting today. Unfortunately, we're still in Tucson.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're very sad that we are not there this week. But the question really comes for me. I was looking forward to the interview today because it looks like Phil and Gloria are working artists, and I'm also an artist and have been wondering if I can make, sell, or teach art in Panama, which I do here, and would I need a pensionado visa or a friendly nations visa to do that, or what would I need to sell to locals if I decided to teach?
And so there, you've got two choices. If you go with a pensionado visa, you cannot do direct sales. You cannot sell your artwork or teach art classes or any of those things, and where you're getting paid money. You can't do that. But what you could do is you could find someone that does have a work permit, or even better, work with a Panamanian that maybe has a gift shop or something, and put your products up on consignment so that they sell it and you're not the one selling it. So those, if you want to sell directly, you're going to need a work permit. If you just want to be able to create stuff and sell it, then you're going to have to go through a different, there is a way to do that, but you're going to have to do it differently. But as far as classes go, it would be better to have a work permit to do that.
Okay, good to know. And then what if I stay online only?
Yeah, if it's online only, you don't need a work permit.
Okay.
It's only when you're selling a product or a service to Panama, in the country of Panama, then you need to have a work permit. If you're selling a product or a service outside of the country, then you do not need a work permit.
Okay, got it. Oh, well, thank you.
Okay.
All right, well,
okay,
we re-signed for a tour in April and backup list for October and November, so we're hoping we can get there a little sooner than later.
Me too. My fingers are crossed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie.
Next caller is area code 630. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, this is John. My wife and Eileen and I were on your tour in November.
Great.
And for those of you that are going on a tour, you're going to love it. Fantastic. We were hoping to have already been there and rented a house, and I guess my question is, given this, I'm sure the rental market's been impacted. What's going on right now in Boquete with supply and stuff?
So I'm working on an article. I'm waiting on a few quotes from some developers before the article's finished about what's going on with the real estate market, especially post-COVID-19. There is a glut of rentals available right now, and a lot of landlords have started reducing their price, not just in Boquete, but throughout the country.
Gotcha. Great. Okay.
So you're gonna have plenty to choose from. I think we're still gonna have some snowbirds coming down from Canada. So if you waited until after Christmas, there could be less inventory. But if they come before Christmas, there'll be plenty of things to choose from. And whatever they're asking, negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. Just like I told you on the tour.
Oh, that's great. Well, we'll see as soon as the airport opens, I can tell you that.
That's great. I look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
Thanks. And my next caller is area code 330. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Dave. I've got a couple questions for you. Number one, my passport is gone tonight. When the...
Dave, I'm sorry, but you cut out there for a minute. I got my passport, and then I didn't hear anything after that. Can you start over again, please?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, my passport's going to expire in about 7 or 8 months, and I was just getting on the website to renew it when I saw they were closed, the passports for the U.S., and they said on their website that you only had the 3 months. You only needed a 3-month expiration to come to Panama, but I thought Panama said 6 months.
6 months, yeah. Yeah, and I wouldn't advise coming to Panama until you get your passport renewed. You really need to do that. They're going to open up again. It's just going to take longer.
Okay, and then the other question I had was, I know Panama has been more strict in regards especially to the COVID-19 rules and regulations, and there's talk in the U.S. now of possibly getting a vaccine and forcing all the Americans to take the vaccine. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were if they come up with a vaccine, if the Panamanian government would force all the people there to take the vaccine?
No, they won't. They will make it available to anybody who wants to take it on a voluntary basis. Panamanians traditionally will not and do not want anything to do with vaccines. They even don't require children to get vaccinated before they go to school, because if they did, parents wouldn't send their kids to school.
Okay, well, that sounds good, because I sure don't want the vaccine myself either.
Yeah, well, it'll be available to people that want it, but if people don't want it, it's not going to be a forced situation.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. Next caller, area code 406. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Jane Collins from Montana. And in all the months I've listened to your calls and been on your tour and that kind of thing, I can't recall that we've ever addressed the topic of an equivalent of renter's insurance.
You can get renter's insurance, and it's real cheap. It's like $30, $40 a year. It doesn't cost very much. Most people don't get it, and the main reason they don't get it is because they're usually renting a house that's completely furnished. So the only thing you're bringing is a couple suitcases of clothes and maybe a few things that you bought. But the majority of the things in the house, the furniture, the TV, the pots and pans, the refrigerator, the stove, all that stuff belongs to the owner. So you really don't need to get renter's insurance.
Okay. I had a computer that was actually stolen, but I was out of my home with it. It was my one for at home, my laptop, and I had it out at a place like a coffee shop or something where I was doing some work, and it was stolen. And my renter's insurance covered that.
I don't know if it would cover it in Panama or not. You'd have to talk to an insurance person here in Panama to see if it would cover it. I really doubt it that it would. Next caller is area code 303, but before I take that call, I want to make a couple of announcements. First of all, Phil and Gloria were supposed to be our guest speakers today, but they couldn't join us because of an electrical problem at their house. So I've got them rescheduled for June the 6th, for Saturday, June the 6th. And then next Saturday, on May the 30th, I already had it arranged. My guest speaker is going to be Bob Adams, who has lived in Panama City for quite some time. He has a website called retirementwave.com, and he's been writing articles and reports about the economy and the demographics in Panama for 15 years. So you might want to go ahead and check out retirementwave.com. That's Bob Adams' website. And he also has a YouTube channel, and I think if you just type in Bob Adams, then you'll see it. And I think at least once a week he does some kind of a video just talking about what's going on here in Panama, so that you could give some advance, get to know Bob Adams before he ever is on our conference call next Saturday on May the 30th. So go right ahead, area code 303, with your question.
Hi, Jackie. This is Cynthia and Michael from New Mexico. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you fine.
Great. Okay, three questions, and they're all related. Does the criminal background check need to be certified for the visas?
So it needs to be a national criminal. So from New Mexico, you're talking about an FBI report, and it does have to be apostilled or authenticated. Authentication would go through the Panamanian consulate that's closest to you. An apostille would go through the federal State Department.
Great. Okay. The next question is a sole proprietor, if we have a sole proprietor company, is it considered a corporation in Panama?
No, it has to be a Panamanian corporation.
Got it. Thank you. And what about immigrant visas? What's the cost to obtain a Panamanian? And then is a Panamanian passport tied to that visa?
So the cost for a visa depends on which attorney that you're going to use. Let me give you an example. Most of the attorneys that we work with, the Panama Relocation Tour work with, they give a special price to people that come on our tour. for a right. pensionado visa, most of them charge about $1,500, $1,600, whether it's a single person or a couple. I do know someone that did not come on our tour that went to an attorney that we would never recommend that charged them $15,000 for the exact same visa. So, and the prices are all over the place. So there's not just one. You can't say, what does it cost to get a visa? It depends on which attorney that you go to. The actual part of getting citizenship and a passport, you cannot apply for citizenship, Panamanian citizenship and a passport until after you've had your permanent visa for 5 years. Then your attorney can help you with the application, and it's a two-step process. First, your attorney will, it's $600 to get that passport, and your attorney will set up a meeting for you to go to the electoral tribunal. Will there interview you and find out, well, why do you want it? Why do you want to become a Panamanian? Why do you want this passport? And they, then you have to take a test, and the test is about the history of Panama, the color of the flag, when did they get their Independence Day from Spain, when did they get their Independence Day from Colombia, just different history kind of questions. If you get at least a 70 on the test, then you pass, and then you're approved for it, and then the president has to sign the authorization for you to get it. I know a lot of people that have gotten their Panamanian citizenship and passport.
Okay. Perfect. Excellent. Thank you so much. We really appreciate all you're doing, Jackie. Thank you.
You're so
welcome.
We'll
see you on the tour. And we're really enjoying your guide. Thank you.
You're welcome. So my next caller is area code 813. Go ahead.
Yes. My name is Henrietta, and I live in Sarasota. My daughter and I are planning to go there in August. I have two questions. First, of course, we don't have enough time to go on your tour, but I wanted to get the package of the information. I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Our tours are sold out through the end of the year. Actually, the tours are sold out, I think, until May of next year. We do have some people on the backup list. And because so many people want to come on the tours and we just can't do any other ones, we created this online package called the Complete Panama Relocation Guide, which has all the same information that you would get on a tour. It's just not, we're not taking you in the bus and driving you around town and all those other things. But we have that available online.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But is it a hard copy, or do I have to do all of this online, get this information online?
It's online. And there's some videos. There's some videos to watch. There's some audios to listen to. And there's also some written materials.
Okay. So maybe I could print it out. It's just, you know, I have difficulty reading stuff on the computer. I'm 73, but that's okay. Second question.
Yep.
My daughter that's coming down with me is 40 years old. I want to get the pensionado visa, and I have enough income that would cover both of us. What kind of a visa should she get?
Well, because she's 40 years old, she would probably might want to start a business or might want to do some work in Panama instead of just being retired. If that's the case, then I would recommend that you get the pensionado visa and she goes with a friendly nation visa. If, on the other hand, she just wants to be retired when she gets here, then she could be your dependent on the pensionado visa. But at 40 years old, she's probably going to want to do something and be active.
No, she's a writer. I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry. I'm a New Yorker. She's a writer. So all of her business will be online.
She could go with a pensionado visa as your dependent.
As my dependent. Thank you so much, Jackie. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
So, Henry, for those of you that are not aware of it, one second, and I'll get this other call. Hold on one second. So Henrietta was just talking about our online guide. And for those of you that are not aware of it, if you go to PanamaRelocationTours.com and you look at the very top and it says online guide, if you just click on that, then it has information about this new product that we developed a couple of months ago. Because we just have so many people that want to come on our tour, but some people can't afford the tour, that they want all the information, but they can't afford the tour, so we created the guide to solve that problem. People want to come on our tour, and it's sold out, so they can't get on it. So once again, the online guide solves that problem. You get all the same information that you would get on a Panama relocation tour. You get all of our contacts for attorneys. You get all of our contacts for the very best property managers. You get all the information about helping you decide which city is the best place to live. And just how to get your patent of the country, who to contact to buy a car, where to go to get health insurance. All those things are available right in the guide that's available online. Plus, you have access to it 24 hours a day. You can start learning all those things before you ever even come to Panama or get on the airplane. So I encourage you, if you're thinking about relocating to Panama and you can't come on a Panama relocation tour for one reason or another, check out the guide and see if it doesn't answer all the questions that you have. I know that it will. The guide also comes with our support. Anytime you have a question, there's a place right within it for you to ask your question. So we're still going to be there to hold your hand through the whole process of getting relocated to Panama. So now I'll unmute the line for area code 212. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
My name is Richard Harvey, and
Richard, you may have a bit of an echo.
Yeah, I'm going away from the TV or the computer, so now I think we're free of echo. I'm sorry.
Yep, good. We're good.
My wife and I are collecting Social Security, but we never intend to retire. We have an alternative health practice, and how does that work? How would that work in Panama?
So in Panama, a doctor or a nurse or things like that, they are not allowed to practice in Panama unless you're working underneath the supervision of a Panamanian doctor. And I do know several people that moved down from North America that have alternative health clinics here, and they're working with and under the supervision of a Panamanian doctor. One lady does ozone treatments, acupuncture, different things like that. So there is a way, even though it's a protected profession, a doctor, there is ways for you to continue to be able to do that here. There's also a gentleman that is building a hospital that's specifically for alternative health treatments for cancer and all kinds of other things. And it's none of the traditional chemotherapy stuff. It's all with nutrition and alternative methods. So
well, that's what we do. We primarily do cancer. We do lots of cancer, and we're good at it.
Yep. So there's a lot of people come here for alternative health treatment. There's also shamans that are here through primarily the Embera Indian tribe that do different treatments, medicine treatments. So alternative is very popular here.
Yeah, I'm a microbiologist, and thank you. This has been very illuminating. Thank you for your answers. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We look forward to seeing you in Panama.
You will.
So we've only got just a couple more minutes. I'm going to try to get as many calls as I can. Next caller is area code 847. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Myra. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling because I plan to at some point move to Panama on a pensionado visa, but I'll be able to retire next year at 55. So if I go through the process before the age of Social Security, will I still be able to apply for Social Security back here in America? Because I'm assuming my pension, based off of what I read, will be more than enough in Panama, but then again, I don't want to leave my Social Security behind either. So do you know how that works, like coming down before I'm actually full Social Security.
Yeah, so at the U.S. Embassy office, there is a Social Security office at the U.S. Embassy in Panama City. And I believe you can even get signed up online. You don't have to go in. So you're still going to be able to get your Social Security even though you've already moved to Panama.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I needed. Have a great one.
Thank you for calling in today. Next caller, area code 530. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is on the Pensionada visa. To get the police report, do you get a printout from your local police department and then send it to the FBI?
That's one way that you can do it. You can get you can go to the police department, and they're going to roll your fingerprints. So once you get that fingerprint card, then you would go to FBI.gov, and there's application process. Application form on their website. You fill out the application, say, I'd like to get my national criminal report. You send that along with your fingerprints to them.
Okay, and then for proof of income, can you use the Social Security letter that you get every year?
You can, but you have to already be collecting that.
Yeah, I've been collecting it. And then But then I've got a friend that's going too, and she is retired from CalPERS. So I'm assuming she'd have to get a letter from CalPERS to cover her.
That's correct. Yeah, wherever you're getting the income from, you have to get a letter from them.
Okay, and then because we're wanting to do that when we go over on your tour, so how long would it take to get that done if we start it right away?
So you're going to need to make plans to either come to Panama for 5 to 7 days before the tour, or it's even better if you do 5 days after the tour to get your visa, because there's not going to be time during the tour. We keep you busy every minute of every day. But after the tour, just plan to be here an extra 5 days, and you could get your visa.
Oh, and they give it to you that day?
Well, you get it usually the second or third day, but then the thing that takes more time is once you get the temporary visa, then you either have to stay in Panama until you get your permanent visa, or you have to get something called a multi-entry stamp that goes in your passport. So you turn your passport into immigration, and then the next day your attorney will pick it up, and it'll have that multi-entry stamp that allows you to leave the country and come back and leave the country and come back. You don't have to stay. And then usually 2 to 3 months after you get your visa card, your temporary visa card, your attorney will let you know when your permanent visa is ready. And just sometime within 6 months of getting your temporary visa, you have to come back to get your permanent visa.
Okay, so there's no way of doing it to where you get the discounts while we're there.
You don't get you're going to be able to get, depends on where you are. You're not going to be able to get the airfare discounts until you get your permanent visa, but many of the other discounts like restaurants, the pharmacy, movie theater, all those other things, you'll be able to get those with no problem.
Okay, pretty immediately. And then is ATM access pretty plentiful over there, or is that a problem?
Yeah. But no, it's everywhere.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about bringing all our money, you know.
No, but
tour.
You need to let your bank know, your credit card company know that you're going to be using your debit card in Panama. Otherwise, the first time you stick it in an ATM machine, they're going to instantly think it's some kind of fraud, and they will freeze it. So you need to make sure you call your credit card company before you come down, or your credit card company, and let them know, I'm going to be in Panama for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, so that they don't put a fraud alert on your card.
Okay. And it sounded like earlier that it costs about $1,500 to get the Pensionada.
That's right, about $1,500. If you use one of our attorneys, it's going to be about $1,500.
Okay.
You can use, if you want to, you can use a different attorney and pay $3,500 for the same thing.
Oh, no, we're with you, Jack.
I'm teasing you.
I know you are.
We try to save you money. We try to make the process easy. We try to help you avoid mistakes. picking the wrong attorney, picking the wrong real estate people, picking the wrong person to buy a car from. We try to keep you out of trouble. That's what we do.
Hey, we like that. That's why we're going to you. You know, and then the rental, you can still get rentals over there for like 1 or 2 months at a time. Because we're scheduled to go, but we're going to stay about 2.5 months over there.
Yeah, no problem at all getting a rental for a couple weeks or a couple months. No problem.
Okay. Okay, sounds great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your call. So it's already been a one-hour call. You know, I've done it before where I've gone to 2 hours, even did a three-hour conference call one time of just answering question after question after question. But I know that that's a little bit long for people to listen to the replays. And I know many of you have some questions about moving to Panama. So this has been a one-hour call, and I'm going to cut it short at 1 hour. I'm not going to go for a two-hour conference call. I do appreciate everybody that called in today. I apologize so much that Phil and Gloria were not able to join us, but we're going to get them on a call again on June the 6th so that you can hear all about their amazing life that they have right on the beach in Playa Uvarito, which is just outside of Las Tablas. Be sure to tune in next Saturday, May the 30th, when Bob Adams is our guest speaker. Thanks again for being on the call, everybody, and I hope you have a great weekend.